And what might be the most interesting update on China BRICS buying since 2023? Goldman Sachs notes that central bank buying re-accelerates and supports the next leg higher in gold.
Welcome to the Morning Markets and Metals with Vince Lancey, where each morning Vince brings you the financial and precious metals news to get you ready for your day. And now, here's Vince.
Good morning, everyone. I'm Vince Lancey, and this is the Gold Fix Market Rundown. We'll be discussing front and center China OTC gold buying triples. That's a detailed breakdown of a note that Goldman sent out covering China buying. Now, you've seen some cursory comments about it. China's buying increased. You've seen Goldman reiterates its 4,900 target. These are all the type of titles and stories that you would find on mainstream media, and they're accurate. But we have the whole thing broken down from multiple angles, and we're going to get into what those angles are in a second. And as always, a hat tip to zero, hat tip to Zero Hedge. Lower right-hand corner, we want to draw your attention to that as well if you're a founder. First look is the inelastic demand concept, something that we talked about in 2024. Well, bullion banks that are doing responsible reporting are discussing it openly now, and we think we're kind of giddy about it. We say so up top there. Now, premium, we're going to break the whole thing down for you for the weekend, but we just wanted to get it out there in the first look. There's a couple clips in the beginning you can watch. Everyone can watch. And we advise you do that as a prep for what's coming. Anyway, the markets. 10-year yields are unchanged offered. The dollar is up 12, up 13. The S&P 500 is up 34 handles. NASDAQ is up 115. The VIX is offered down almost a full percentage point in vol terms. Gold is 46, up 46 and change, trading 41.12. Up 1.1%. This is the buying that's coming in anticipation of U.S. buying. Silver, 52.16, up a buck, almost a buck 50. That's almost 3%. Copper, 4.99, up over 5 cents. So that's over a percentage point. WTI, the outlier commodity-wise, 59.10, down a buck 60. Wow. It's almost like they've got a cure for oil. Or oil causes cancer or something. Natural gas, 434, up 12. That's 3%. Cold weather coming. You're pulling LNG from the U.S. means Henry Hub prices are higher. That's what that means. Plus, it's getting cold here. Bitcoin, skating on its lows like a bounced marble, 91 and change, recent lows, I should say. Ethereum, 3,096. Palladium, up 23. Platinum, up 32. Platinum, about 100 bucks above, 150 bucks above palladium. Interesting. Gold, silver, down 1.3, hovering at the lows of our own channel, our own sideways channel, and butting up against, we think, Michael Oliver's level inverted. He looks at it in percentage terms. So that's a chart we should look at today. Grains are mixed with soybeans down. Okay, let's go. China OTC gold buying triples. It's actually a bad title. I mean, it's a mainstream media title. All right. In what might be the most interesting update on China BRICS buying since 2023, Goldman Sachs notes that central bank buying reaccelerates and supports the next leg higher in gold. Now, several things in this short but informationally packed piece and insights gotten from it stand out. First, these are insights and observations. First, China buys tripled from the prior month. Now, that's what you're going to read in the media, and it's true, but that's seasonal. It's expected. They buy more coming into the last quarter, part of the buy season phenomena. So it's seasonal, but it is a significant jump. Number two, the mechanics of China projecting pricing power are described. So the bank describes something that we do all the time, and we know they do it all the time too. They're just giving us a little insight about it. The bank describes how the premium of Shanghai over Western gold will tell you what's coming. Not exactly what's coming, but how to look about how it resolves. And it has been resolving with gold higher. You may or may not remember, we've been talking about here's the market, there's the premium, and then the market jumps up to the premium. Well, that's a mechanical manifestation of China projecting pricing power outward. It's not an intent, it's just causality. You do this, that happens. And they have a nice little insight there, which just we glommed onto right away and said, oh, there it is. That's what we were talking about. We reveal how a bullion bank or two got killed in 23 and 24. You remember that we broke in the West, probably in the world, we broke publicly that a bullion bank, probably JP Morgan, took delivery of US gold out of COMEX and sent it to China. That was in response to this arbitrage that I'm talking about. Well, it's an arbitrage if you make the money, but we described the mechanics of how this thing burned those banks that were playing the game that they normally play. Also, we note how more evidence shows global central buying is spreading even while China keeps adding. Meaning, historically, if you look at the two players, say China and India in the BRICS side, when China bought India, did. When India bought China, did. When China bought gold, India bought silver. That's people getting along in the sandbox. But now they're starting to buy at the same time. And that's a sign of impatience. On top of that, central banks that have been dormant are now buying. So Brazil hasn't been buying since 2021. I think Jamaica bought, not that they're important, but they could be a contrary indicator for all I know. But Qatar, which isn't really a bank that buys steadily, they'll buy, and then you'll hear about them later on. They're repeatedly buying per month. So that's a Saudi, that's a Middle Eastern bank, Middle Eastern nation with oil revenues that used to buy in chunks, but now they're buying, consistently. So that's a program, right? Look at it that way. And they're all doing this while China's adding, right? So we note here how central bank buying is increasingly price insensitive in the face of ETF competing buyers, meaning the central banks are no longer waiting for the market to come to them. They're raising their floor again. This is a must read if you are looking for insights regarding the stability of this most recent rally. In short, the gold rally was not speculative, not speculative. Do you hear that, economist? Not speculative at all. It was a new price discovery level of interest being obtained, in our opinion. And central banks did not wait to buy, they stepped up. Deep pockets started chasing, and bullion banks also started covering shorts. The sellers in the rally were speculators. That's just a fact. So, very similar to what happened in March of this year, where the central banks, we think, we're not sure, we think they were buying them, and the bullion banks were buying, and the macro discretionary funds were selling. So it's happening again. It's lather, rinse, repeat. Now, here's a related post. The Economist says, beware the scorching gold rally. Now, that post, that story, I should say, is a combination of a factual reciting of what happened, things that we all know here, and then an opinion or a warning as to how it can continue. And it's not bad advice. But what their conclusion, however, is that the market was rallying because of speculative demand. And that's simply not true. There's always speculative demand. And that's not us contradicting the economist. That's Goldman contradicting the economist when they say the buying was not speculative. It was central bank buying that drove the market higher. So you don't have to take it from us. Our opinion doesn't matter. Breaking Indonesia tariffs, its gold exports. Again, another floor being raised. There's other stories out there. We're just not going to cover them because we've probably already covered them. MSA, gold and silver market dominance over stocks is here. And similar story, one is written version. Oliver Metals to take the lead over stocks soon. He's probably said more aggressively than soon, but we just said soon, just to be careful. And again, there's the Indonesian tariff gold exports. The chat, lively. We have some things to pop in there today on gold and macro, as well as one or two interesting charts on the dollar. So I'll see you there. And data on deck, today's Wednesday, minutes of the Fed meeting come out, and the markets will probably gyrate on that. But as far as gold and silver and market pricing activity, well, let's go through that right now. First off, before we do the charts, let's put silver up there while we're doing that. By the way, this 8 and 9 here in silver, that's bearish. Okay, it's supposed to be bearish. So next month, the market, you would expect the market to go sideways or lower. And if it doesn't, you don't fade it. All it means is that if you got some profits, it's not a bad idea to take some. If it gets above that, well, then the market's a bull market. It doesn't really care about your bearish overbought signals. Silver. There are a couple stories going around. We want to hopefully give some people some perspective on this. There are a couple stories going around about central banks now buying silver, $500 million or something like that. And note that we'd like you to just back off and focus on the form. I mean, the function of what they're talking about, not the form. Or as Tom DeLonge would say, who benefits? Russia said they'd be buying gold for their central bank, I think in May of this year or before then. And what they were saying is buying for a central bank by them is really just saying it's a critical mineral. And they added it with all kinds of gemstones and other stuff that didn't make sense. But anyway, so that puts silver on the radar going into the BRICS of 2025. And other nations or sovereign entities have bought silver. SLV was bought by the Saudis. And Eastern central banks in general, Eastern sovereign entities in general have been buying silver. I mean, you've seen the imports of silver going into India. That's not all for necklaces and bracelets. That's not all for solar panels. You've seen the silver that China's been vacuuming for the past 5 years in concentrate form, as we've described, in doré bar form for years before it hits the market. Well, that's starting to manifest. If you look at Bai Xiaojun, our colleague, professional colleagues, posts every day, the silver coming out. Well, that's China taking silver out of their vault and putting it into a private company. But a private company in China is proudly tied to the government there. Their mindset is different than ours. The reason I'm giving you that context is because they already have been buying silver for central banks, for sovereign entities, for a couple of years. And they're not advertising it because they're still buying. So why would someone announce $500 million? Well, I'll give you an opinion. Putin is a great commodity trader. He's a great trader. He senses when buttons are going to be pushed, when to see where he can get maximum effect on button pushing, and he pushes them. He's done it with the palladium market for decades. He's probably the reason him and Morgan Stanley back in the day are probably the reason that palladium had that massive run as it did back then. But bringing it back to silver, the US announces that silver is a critical mineral, and a central bank says they bought silver and they want to see how it affects the market. They're kind of leaning on the market to see if it triggers something. That's my opinion, tactically speaking. China's not very good tactically. They're very good strategically. Russia's very good tactically. They're no different than us in that respect. Anyway, so if you're looking for confirmation and you don't want to take it from me, take it from what you heard. It's a story. It's probably a propaganda piece. But even if it's not true today, it's been true over the last 4 years. Silver's being accumulated. It's being hoarded because silver is the Goldilocks metal. It's monetary when you need it to be, and it's industrial if you need it to be. It's both, right? If you're old enough to remember, there was a candy called Razzles. Razzles were a candy and then it became a gum. Well, silver is the It's a horrible analogy, but silver is the Razzles of precious metals. It's whatever you need it to be, it will be there. It's perfect in that respect. Okay. Rant over. Gold. That's a monthly. I want to go to the daily here. I don't have my lines up on this one, but look, we're in a range. Don't get excited. I mean, you get excited, but $50 ranges are the norm now. This is a range, right? We're still below that. Remember, this area was important to me. We got above it, rejected it. Well, you shouldn't be bullish here. You could be saying, oh, this is a structure going higher. You could say this is a structure going lower. And then you could say this is a structure going lower. And this structure, you know what this is? This is a good old-fashioned wedge that's forming. I don't know which way we come out of it. I obviously think we're going to come out of it higher, but this is a wedge. We're in a wedge now, which is a trading range with lower highs and higher lows. That's it. Maybe we'll have something come out of the end. I will say this. The last time we got these two moving averages wide apart, that's the 50-day, and this is, I think, the 20-day. We were looking at that in the Founders. Let me check on that. Yeah, so it's interesting that this is the 50-day, the blue one, and the gray colored one is a 30 day. And 50 day is one that everyone looks at. And a 30 day is something we threw up there about, I don't know, about 8 months ago because the market was kind of respecting it. And if you look at the space between them, the space between them is where you don't care. That's one way to look at it. And I say that because the 40 day lies right in the middle there. And the 40 day is what I had a conversation with a CEO technician. I'll put his link in the post. And we talked about, well, he talked about the 40-day as being, for some reason, the bottom now, as it was the bottom back last year between April, I mean, this year between April and August. Anyway, so that might be the key. That's all we need. Again, we're in a trading range. I don't really, I mean, it's a great trading range. We're in a trading range centered around $4,000. How's that? That's pretty crazy, right? And silver is in a trading range centered around $50. We're just getting going, I think.
Well, thank you, Vincent, for another wonderful morning show. And thank you at home for watching. Sure appreciate you being here and spending part of your day on the Arcata Economics YouTube channel. If you didn't already do so, go ahead and hit the subscribe button so that as Vince continues to lay out what is going to happen in the gold and silver markets, much like he's been talking about the mercantile environment that we're seeing play out now with Indonesia putting a tariff on their gold exports, China restricting their silver exports, and all the other stuff that's happening that we get to watch along as we all await our $2,000 government checks, which fortunately, I'm guessing everyone watching has a much better way to use that $2,000 and leave it in fiat currency. So we'll keep you posted on that. And real quick, before we wrap up, did just want to thank Fortuna Mining who, as you might imagine, had a very strong third quarter, which they just released the results of about 2 weeks ago now. And one of the things that's really exciting is that as they're benefiting from also focusing on lower cost ounces while the gold price is elevated, they've ended up with quite a liquidity position. They're working towards reaching a construction decision at their Diamba Sud gold project. And I did have Jorge Ganoza, the CEO of Fortuna, on the show about a week ago to talk about the third quarter. And here's a quick comment from Jorge on their latest results.
We're very excited about where we see the company today. As we've shown quarter after quarter, the business is performing well. We're really capturing the benefits of this high price environment. As you just pointed out, we are increasing our margins, increasing our cash flow, free cash flow generation. And more importantly, we are set up to continue with our next leg of growth, relying on exploration success within the portfolio and the advancement of the Diamba Sud, which will be our next coal mine. And we published not only the PEA results, which I'm sure we're going to dig into, which shows a project with very robust economics. We are looking forward to make that construction decision early next year. But we are also advancing the project on the permitting side, fast-tracking it. And again, at the same time, the business is running on all engines and expanding margins. We're generating very healthy free cash flow.
Well, thank you, Jorge. Always great to have him on the show. In the midst of an environment where we see the elevated gold price, a lot of people wanting to capture that rally, I think it's really helpful to have a company that you've seen lay out what they're going to do and then execute on it. Of course, do your due diligence, and that's why we have Jorge on the show, so that you can hear what they're doing. Also, always good to contact them, which you can see up there at the contact tab at fortunamining.com. And in case you missed the full interview with Jorge, well, that one is coming your way now.